Hello. My
Hi.
name is Kelly Love Monster, and I am with Sharing Sexy, and we're going to talk about things.
Hi. I'm DJ Lotus, and I'm also with Sharing Sexy. We don't do lots of these kind of talks. We do other things, so if it's a little clumsy, yeah, maybe that's possible.
So who is Sharing Sexy?
Well, we are a radical porn collective, and we make porn. That's me on the right.
And that's me over here.
But Sharing a Sexy is much bigger than us. There's like 6 or maybe 8 of us. Yeah.
Yeah. And we... Oh, you want to show the next slide? Those are two other Sharing the Sexy members. And Sharing the Sexy, we put on events throughout San Diego City. We host porn watching, what do we call them, events. We put on burlesque shows. What else do we do?
We make zines.
We make zines.
Yeah.
So yeah, we make radical porn.
Yeah, so we also call this project our open source porn laboratory. Because all the work that we do is Creative Commons licensed and it's all free, so you can go to sharingasexy.org and see all the wonderful sexy photos and video. And also we try to use open source methodologies and apply them to porn production. And we'll talk about that a little more as we continue.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
So to change things up a little bit, we're going to do a breathing exercise with you guys. It's 3 parts. It's really easy. It's going to require you guys to actually get up out of your seats and stand up. So if you guys can do that for me. Thank you. Now the first... Yeah, definitely. So I'm going to tell you how it's going to go, and then we're going to do it. We're going to close our eyes, and we're going to take 4 deep breaths in, and we're going to really concentrate on our exhale, pushing all the air out of our lungs. And after those 4 deep breaths in and out, we're going to start silently chanting no together, like no, 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 no. And I really want you guys to pay attention to how no feels in your body. And we're going to progressively get louder and louder and louder with our nose until we're all like shouting no. And now when we're all yelling no, we're all going to switch over and start shouting yes. And then I want you guys to pay attention to how yes feels in your body. And I just want you guys to really experience your yeses. Like, if your yeses takes you to a place where you have to touch yourself, if your yeses take you to a place where you need to cry, if your yeses take you to a place where you need to scream, I want you guys to experience that. Okay? Go.
Who's going to switch to yes?
We will. Okay, cool. So we're going to start with our deep breaths in and out. So everyone, deep breath in. And I want you to push that deep breath out. Another deep breath in. And I want you to push that deep breath out. Deep breath in. And push that deep breath out. And the last one, deep breath in. And a big deep breath out. No, 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 no. That feels good. Thank you, guys.
Okay.
everybody's a little more awake. We're talking about what's real. So maybe that was a little hint about it.
Okay. So we're going to set up some parameters for our talk. We've defined some words, so we're all on the same page about how we're going to use language so we all can have the same conversation. So anything else that you want to include with that?
Sure. We have lots of
microphone.
Oh, yes, thank you.
Yes. So we have lots of slides and some photos and also a few short little video clips that we're going to go through looking at different projects and ideas about the real and how it's used and what it means.
Okay, yeah, defining the real. What does the real mean to you? So I want to know, when I say real, what do you guys think about the real? Just like anybody, just like yell it out. What does the real mean? What? Not fake. Anybody else? Real? Everything. Everything is real. I like that. Anything else? Orange juice is very real. Anything else? Now, instinct, yeah,
instinct,
those are all
yeah,
good.
Interesting.
Anybody else? Anything else about the real? Excuse me? Consciousness. Is real.
Anything from up there in the tech booth? What's real?
What's real? Guys up there?
Technology.
Technology is real.
Okay, cool.
Shit. Shit is very real.
All right. So, lots of different ideas about what is the real, what does it mean. We thought we would just throw out some accepted notions, common notions.
Phenomenological.
Yeah.
That's a hard word.
So I would say this is the approach we're mostly using for this talk, is a phenomenological approach to the real. So what your feelings and sensory perceptions, we would say those are real.
Yeah,
like
those are
that
very real.
That exercise that we did, we could say that was something that was real. Okay.
Here's a Random House unabridged dictionary definition of the real: genuine, not counterfeit, artificial, or imitation, authentic.
So somebody said something like that, not fake or something over there. Okay.
Oh, and our
but
friend.
Again, I really appreciate the previous talk. We're gonna. We were like, wait, that's our talk. Wait, shit. So here we have a little complication of what's real or what's not from Lacan and psychoanalysis. And so Lacan has these levels, the imaginary, symbolic, and the real. And Lacan's idea of the real is that it's something that is inaccessible to us. That raw physical materiality, we can never get to, just keep dreaming.
Yeah.
That every experience, even like the most intimate sexual experience, is filtered through your ideas about who you're touching, what you're touching, you're being touched, like your perception, what does pleasure mean, all those things.
Yeah. Thus not real?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, we have these now.
Oh.
Okay, so now we're going to go through a few different porn projects and look at the way they use this idea of real. Part of the motivation for this talk was to sort of add to this conversation about what is radical porn by addressing this one little point of realness.
Definitely. And I think we kind of want to put these porn projects side by side and ask the question if, like, the real can exist in all these projects simultaneously.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So continuing on with a few little definitions and trying to make this click.
Yeah.
So, radical, what the hell do we mean by that? We're definitely taking the easy way out with that for now. And we are relying on what these projects we're talking about say about themselves.
Yeah, so all these words come from all the projects that we're going to go through. They claim to be grassroots, feminist, sex worker friendly. You guys could read the rest. But yeah, so this is the language that they use.
Okay. And then maybe a quick definition of porn, a definition that we think is rather crappy, from the USC section 18.2257, which is the little fine print at the bottom of every porn site that you look at, the complicated laws for documentation. And so that one is a visual depiction of actual sexually explicit conduct.
I don't know what that means, but...
But so there's a good example of, like, this concept of the real or actual is right there at the, you know, in the definition of what's pornography or what's not.
And, yeah, this is what Sharing Sexy thinks porn is. Anything that one thinks is sexy and wants to share. So if I want to take off my shirt right now and touch my nipples, that's porn. It's sexy to me.
We'll wait. We'll hold off on
okay.
That. Okay. So now we're going to talk about a few specific projects that elicit use this idea of the real. And so for this section, we're talking about a few different projects that that sort of rely on the real, that try to be sexy or be radical by saying that that's something you can relate to.
Yeah. So, like, these people are like you.
Yeah. So, okay. So there's our first example that we'll talk about a little bit. Annie Sprinkle is a post-porn performer. She has this great video, Her Story of Porn, and we'll show a little bit of that. The video goes through all the different porn projects she's worked on, and the first one we'll show is this one from, like, the early 80s. And it was an attempt to, like, make porn radical by having it be made by women and be, like, more psychological or something like that. Okay. Waiting. Oh, it's back here. DVD technology is slow.
Awesome.
Okay. Let's drag this over here. Okay.
So I wanted to make a movie where the people sitting watching it weren't just sitting watching, something where they were a little bit more intimately involved, something kind of interactive. So throughout the film, I talked directly to the camera.
How are you? I'm really, really glad that you came to see me because, well, I want to get to know you and I want you to get to know me and I want us to become very, very close and very, very intimate. Would you like that? I would. You know, I am a real exhibitionist, and I love to have sex in very public places. Sometimes, if I see one of my movies is playing, I'll go in and sit down and start watching myself fucking and sucking on that big screen, and that makes me very, very horny. So, I get carried away, and I start doing all the guys around me. It's really nice. So don't be surprised if you're ever in a movie theater and I come in and I sit right next to you.
So you see, now it was I that became the sexually aggressive one. No one had to force or manipulate me into sex. I was the one that wanted it. And the guys, they better just watch out.
Tell me.
Okay, as much as we would love to watch the rest of this video, it proceeds just as she said. She goes in and has sex with lots of dudes in the movie theater.
See, that could be you. She could walk in right now and sit right there. and then sit on your face.
Okay. So just moving on to be quick. So then we have Suicide Girls. Again, this gets to the point, the question of what's radical porn, right? Part of the parameters of this talk for me are trying to avoid binary distinctions. So I'm not going to try to say, like, this is radical, this is not, this is porn, this is not. But Suicide Girls calls themselves grassroots. Yeah.
And I think, like, there's a quote there by the New York Times that we thought was kind of, like, appropriate, and we wanted to highlight the meeting place for people interested in alternative lifestyles. So you can go on Suicide Girls, and you'll meet, like, girls who are, like, alternative and are like you. And, again, not to say that you wouldn't, but, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's the claim, right? The meeting place for people. So you're just like them. You might just run into them on the street. You're so cool and alternative. So are they. They might fuck you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then NoFo. Who I think we like NoFo.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think just the title of their website begins to imply, like, these people are not fake. They're real. They are like you. Like, you too can submit your photo and be on NoFo and, yeah, show your sexy porn.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm still waiting to hear back from NoFo.
Yeah. But they, yeah. I mean, not only do we like them, I would say NoFo is the site that's most like our site. It's like all different sexualities represented and genders, and they're not, like, categorized by gender or anything like that. The difference is you have to pay for NoFo site, but, yeah. Obviously, they're big on the not fake thing.
Oh, okay. Enough man.
So, another short clip dealing with the real in a porn project. Do you want to say something about it?
Well, Enough Man. So, this is a documentary about F2M people. And, it shows them having sex and talking about their sex and how they experience their sex and sexuality.
Yeah, so the back of it says something like documentary meets porn or something like that, and it's basically that format. It's like documentary style, as you will see.
And this clip is a little graphic, so that's all I have to say.
Yeah, and maybe brings a different idea of real.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think this is really real.
I think that for a lot of transgendered folks, that's really important. A lot of transgendered transsexual folks, because it's not done and it's not seen. And so many people have not been able to be sort of up close and personal and see how other transgendered people fuck, you know? People play, there's not a lot of blood, it's not really super invasive, and of course, you know, all the general adults. So,
that was some real F10 porn right there. Okay, so now I guess it comes. Is that early?
Sharing sexy.
Sharing us. How we elicit the real. So I guess the idea of our site is that, like, you can come on over and shoot some porn after you hand in your proper documentation, and yeah, you too can be on the site. So sharing sexy is just like real people who want to put it on the internet what they think is sexy.
Yeah, I would say there's like a sort of built-in assumption about realness in the fact that it's like DIY, open source, all those things are implied, right? That it's open. I mean, it is. Like, you can submit porn to us. We can talk about it after the table. But regardless, it's like we are also relying on that similar claim.
Okay. So, fantasy defines the real, but it doesn't undefine the real. So, yeah.
So for this next section, we'll talk about some projects that are more fantastical, not trying to be just so directly real like these few projects.
Definitely. So, like, I guess we're going to, like, propose, like, or ask, what does it mean to have our fantasies turn us on in the real? So what does it mean to have these really fictional things elicit real feelings within us? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah, and just to talk about more about how fantasy operates in these projects and brings about arousal, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So here again we have some more quote from the old dead European guy. And so for Lacan, just to bring this in and continue to complicate this discussion of the real, for Lacan, fantasy shapes the real, right? So we have fantasies that shape what our notions of pleasure are. We have these sort of abstract ideas, basically, that we use to interpret, like, our interaction with the materiality.
So, yeah, I guess we use a phenomenological approach to porn. Again, so we're not trying to say that we have all the answers, but, yeah, what gets us off might not get you off, so what we find sexy, you might not find as sexy, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Man, be morbid.
Okay. So here's a nice sci-fi-ish little clip that we'll show from Mandy Morbid, who has this claim of being radical by being anti-capitalist. This used to be this sort of banner on the top of her website, all of the pussy and none of the capitalism, which I can get behind. I dig. All right. Again, like the rest of our stuff, I guess this clip is kind of graphic too, but whatever. You paid for this comment. Oh, the title's something like Tentacle Monster Fucks Mandy or something. Okay. We have to, as much as we would love to watch the rest of the video, we will have to interrupt.
So again, this idea that, like, that obviously wasn't real, right? but still, there's something that was really real about that. I mean, that was sexy. That was hot. Like, there's tons of kids across the world, like, masturbating to Mandy Morbid being fucked by a weird tentacle object. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There we go back to the weird picture of Hegel and, you know, what gets us off might not get you off, but my experience of that video is that it's pretty hot.
Lickety-Split.
Okay. So Lickety-Split is another radical porn project that's based in Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
And they put out a zine. They call it the Pansexual Smut Zine. So we're not going to show you any exciting video.
Yeah, and I guess we thought it was really important to include this because it's like words. It's like this idea of like fiction through language getting people off. So for those people who love to read their porn, like I remember some of my first experiences with porn was like through like porn on the internet, but like porn stories. And I was like, oh, so hot. And I would like jack off to like all these weird erotic stories. But yeah, and that to me was very real.
Yeah. So surely there's a long history of erotic fiction, and we could say that it's porn and fantasies and getting people off. Okay. So we're going to show one more clip at the moment from Pink and White Productions. This video is called Super Freak. We have the DVD cases. If you want to see them, we can pass them around or whatever. Pink and White is, what does the top of their website say? Porn for pussies.
Yes.
It's lesbian porn made by women, presumably made for women, made here in San Francisco. And so this video is another little example of clearly something that's not real. The main plot line of Super Freak is that Rick James's spirit inhabits people's bodies, and then they have really wild, amazing sex. So we'll show a little bit of that. But even though we know Rick James's spirit's not really inhabiting their bodies, somehow we are still aroused, possibly. Oh wait, it's the wrong DVD. Damn. Did that this morning. Yeah, disc one and disc two. Yes, like I said, we don't do lots of talks. Oh, we've got to see the expert thing.
Oh yeah, we're not experts.
Yes, we're not claiming to be experts. We're all about DIY. We're only experts in the sense that everyone in this room is an expert. Maybe we're experts on what gets us off. Hopefully you are. I mean, I'm what gets you off, not me. Another good video. So, where's the mouse?
Oh.
Did I really get... Damn, that was a little too early. Whatever. So here we're talking about fantasies and porn that's about fantasy, and maybe something good about porn being that people get to fulfill their fantasies. Or that people can learn to fulfill their fantasies. If we think of porn as pedagogical, if we think of somebody living in Omaha who's never met a transgender person might find some transgender porn and be like, hey, that's me. That way we could see fantasy being good. But we just wanted to complicate the ethical discussion by admitting and bringing up this fact.
So, yeah. So here we have some porn made on Second Life by Jen. Is it Violet or V?
Velada.
Velada. And, yeah, so is this right? Is this sexy? I don't know. Is this real?
And clearly it's not real.
Yeah.
Right? But she puts all her stuff on Flickr. So if you go to Flickr and look up her name, you can come up with her stuff. And there's, like, tons of comments from people about how wonderful it is, how erotic it is, how sexy it is. It's not all like blown off heads, but it is lots and lots of violence and severed arms and such things.
Yeah, and I think we thought this was important because, yeah, it really does ask that question, like, so what porn is okay? What porn is okay to show?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also brings up, I think, another interesting thing about this image is, okay, so Second Life is a perfectly good example of, like, really cheap production, right? Here's a platform that people have where they can make whatever fantasy they want to come true, right? They want to be furries, dragons, whatever they want to be, they can do that. And in a lot of cases, there's stuff like this. Okay. So this dialogue about what's real is not, it's not, we're not also not pretending like it's our brilliant idea and that we brought it up for the first time. So we didn't bring the DVDs for this one, but there's a couple of porn projects that sort of play with the idea of the real or kind of focus on the fact that they're not really real or that real is maybe silly. Yeah. So like this video In Search of the Wild Kingdom, it's like a faux documentary about a documentary crew that's trying to find the real sex lives of real lesbians in San Francisco. So the camera crew and the director are like prominently featured in the porn, and the lights and the cameras are oftentimes in the shot. So they're like very consciously making a joke about worrying about what's real.
And this is another documentary which I guess in the same vein, they show you the production of putting on a porn, and the East Vancouver Porn Collective, they're a small collective, and they make porn, and they make fictional porn, and this movie's, we don't know if it's a documentary or it's a, I don't know,
yeah,
a porn about making a documentary, but they definitely bring up the question of, like, I don't know.
I think they're like a good example of something that Andy Sprinkle does well, where you're just not really sure.
Yeah.
Their movie, Made in Secret, is about them making porn, but it doesn't actually feature any sex in the movie, and they never released the movies. And they never really have admitted, like, whether or not they actually made the movies. So they're really sort of pushing the realness. I mean, there's, like, make out in the movie.
Definitely.
But there's no, like, vajayjay.
No.
Okay. Oh, shit, another example. All right. Oh, wrong DVD. So we're going to show a little bit more of Annie Sprinkle because we love her and she's like a big inspiration to us. And I think this is another example also of porn that sort of plays with the real, is like on the borderline of what's real and what's not. So in this scene, so her video, the Her Story of Porn, goes through all the different porn that she's made, right? Like starting with starting in the 70s, like she was talking about people exploiting her or something. And then moving on to all kinds of stuff like S&M porn and tantric porn, and then getting to this, yeah. Okay. So this most clumsy part of the presentation, I'm going to fast forward in front of you because my DVR failed to do what I wanted it to do. Ah, okay. So at the end of this movie, Her Story of Porn, Annie Sprinkle goes through a little DIY porn, right, which is sort of what we do. But she tries to go step by step and tell you porn made easy. You get a director, you get a star. I'm trying to fast forward because so we can try to be on time. Oh, this is where she says, call up a friend you want to have sex with, and that's really nice. Okay. So I'm just fast-forwarding a little to this particular scene where she shows some of the production methods, right, that they're using here. Okay.
I would want the camera to move in tight on all of the erogenous zones. Bubbles, I want lots of bubbles. Guess that I could get my friend Melanie to do an erotic fish dance. This is Serena. She learned about me in her women's studies course. She wanted to apprentice with me, so I put her in my porno movie. Make sure everyone is over 18 years old, and be sure and get a signed model release.
All right. So here we could say with this, all these different levels of the real and fantasy interplaying, right?
Yeah. And that penis.
Yeah. So you might not even know that it's not real.
Exactly.
I don't think they showed it there, but later they even show that it's a squirting dildo, too. It has a little cum shot action. And clearly they're not mermaids. Right. Okay. So So for a long time, radical porn has said, like, okay, so we're radical because we use, like, real people, no boob jobs and fake nails here, or we're real because there's, like, real female pleasure, there's, like, real orgasms and all that stuff. But maybe there's, like, a problem with that. What might be some problems with this? Oh, yeah, and then there's the old Lacan guy, said, right? He says that we don't have access to real in the first place, so we're saying that what makes the projects real is that what makes them radicals that they're real, then maybe we're just fooling ourselves.
So, yeah, this whole idea of, like, accommodation of sex for production. So if you've ever made porn, you know that it takes work, like, to get a good shot, like, to make it look sexy, to genuinely make it look hot, because I don't know about you guys, but when I have sex, sometimes it doesn't look as hot as it looks on the website. So it comes down to, like, me having to hold my leg up here and hold my head back.
Hold it.
And then we get the shot. So, like, there's all these things that we have to do to make our porn really look real and sexy and hot.
Yeah. Like, can you just change the angle of the dildo? Can you just, you can't really see it from where it is. There's lots of that. Yeah.
Yeah, and this whole idea, so this is a film, and it, like, really highlights, it says, real people, real life, real sex. So this idea that, like, because these people are in, like, real relationships and they know each other, their sex is more real than the sex that you would see in, like, mainstream porn.
Yeah. Yeah, so Comstock Films has this whole series of videos that's, like, real couples having sex the way they really do, dun-dun, and that's theoretically hotter or something. But it's also very, I would say, I mean, that's cool that they're doing that, but I would say in a way it also privileges heteronormative monogamous couples.
Definitely.
Because it's like, so the sex that I have with somebody I've been with a long time is more real than the sex I might have with somebody at Folsom?
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay. So we're talking about what's real and that being a basis for radical porn. So then who's excluded from this? Who gets to make radical porn?
She doesn't get to make radical porn.
Clearly, number six doesn't get to make radical porn, right? Or anybody else who's not a real girl. So Suicide Girls in their model form says they only want real biological girls. So what does that mean? No cyborgs. Yeah. And so we could see with this all that, with just from the slides that we've looked at, right, that lots of radical porn has lots of body modification in it.
Definitely. So there's, like, tons of people with, like, tattoos and piercings, and there's this whole, like, I guess, I don't know, like, these types of body modifications are okay, and these types of body modifications are very real, as opposed to, like, I don't know, breast implants, and how we might see some women in porn with boob jobs, and all of a sudden that porn becomes less fake or less real to us.
Yeah, Nikki Sullivan has a really good essay called Transmorgification that I left at home, so I don't have a quote from, but you can look it up. And it has a nice detailed analysis of, like, what is the rhetoric around saying that boob jobs are fake and tattoos are real, or boob jobs are a product of people succumbing to patriarchy, whereas tattoos somehow mean that people have agency or something. So this issue of boob jobs being cosmetic surgery, right? And so on a more serious level of saying who's excluded, if we're going to say that people with boob jobs are not real and can't make radical porn, then I would say that that excludes a lot of sex workers. A lot of sex workers do get cosmetic surgery because they make more money that way. It makes
Definitely.
Their lives a little easier.
And I thought, yeah, and we brought up, like, yeah, transgendered people, like, who go through surgery and get boob jobs and get lip collagen, all types of other things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does that make them less real and the sex that they do less real?
Yeah. So I'll bring up the caveat that you asked me to bring up, or that you wanted to bring up, which is, so ostensibly there's no transgender women on Suicide Girls. But, of course, lots of trans women are stealth and we wouldn't really know necessarily.
Yeah.
But according to their little model form and whatnot, if you're a trans woman, don't even bother applying. So yeah, tattoos, piercings, bleached anuses is another thing that people in the porn industry do.
So okay. Yeah.
So another reason why we would say this, that claiming that radical porn is real, is it's just a photo.
Yeah, it's just a representation. We're just trying to show what we think is sexy. Right?
Yeah. Right. You're not actually having sex with me when you're looking at those photos of me, right? Or the films. You didn't actually have sex with Annie Sprinkle or Mandy Morbid today. Technology's not there.
Oh, I love this photo. So yeah, here's again another example of like, yeah, this is Jay, and she makes porn for sharing sexy, and like you could go on the site and see her, and like it might look like she's really enjoying this orgasm that she's having. But little do you know, this shot took a lot of work. It really did.
Yeah. Yeah, I wanted to bring this up because I think this set's hot. People have told me it's hot. But, like, reality when we were making this, it was sort of like, so what should I do next? I don't know. Put your hand over there. Okay. Cool. Does that look good? Yeah. Okay. Maybe I should move my leg over here. Cool. Yeah. Something like that.
So, okay. Yeah.
Woo, we're doing good on time.
Yeah. So what makes radical porn radical? Sorry to disappoint, but we don't have the answers. We really don't know.
Yeah. It's a huge discussion. We're just making like one little interjection. But if we're going to say this thing, that maybe we should stop using the real as a measure for what's radical. Maybe we should stop saying who's real and who's not. Then what else are we going to talk about?
Definitely.
Oh, some suggestions.
Okay, so this is how we make radical porn, or how we think we make radical porn. We have, like, consensus. We have this collective decision-making process, which can be long and tedious, but it, to us, is a radical approach to making porn. So, like, all the performers have control over all their sets.
Yeah. So this is our, like, little intervention into the discussion of radical porn. That maybe instead of talking about the real, we should talk about how it's actually made and who has a say over what happens. And we could propose that other porn projects operate like we do, where the performers have final say over everything.
Mm. Yeah. And there's a lot of talk, again, about, like, okay, so if you charge people for your porn, is it then radical? And part of the conversation that Sharing Sexy has is that it was really important for us, for our porn to be free, this way that it was accessible to people. Accessibility was radical to us.
Yeah. And I think in the early days we started talking about the project saying it was an anti-capitalist project, and then we talked about it for hours and hours and hours. And we were like, maybe not.
Yeah.
I mean, we buy lube, dildos, we pay for hosting. I mean, like, we say to people there's no money exchanged, which there's not, right? Like, I don't pay Kelly, nobody pays us, all that. But there's still money exchanged.
Definitely.
And another thing that we do and that we would propose maybe would make porn radical is questions of licensing and access. So the porn that we make, we try to make accessible to anybody who wants it. Yeah. By making a Creative Commons license and making it free.
Definitely. And the whole idea of low cost, so this accessibility, like anybody can make DIY porn, right?
Mm-hmm. Although we do explicitly list, say on our website, and I mean I'm saying now that we're not saying that like all porn should be free. We don't want to discredit sex workers or people who get paid to make porn. I think it's fabulous that people get paid to make porn. But we're trying to come up, make some proposals about what approaches might work.
Definitely. Oh, and I think this is also important. I think this is another radical approach that Sharing is Sexy uses in their porn-making process. Like, a lot of the people who make porn with Sharing is Sexy identify as queer or genderqueer, and they have a mission of spreading queerness. So, like, we have, like, particular goals in, like, helping people, I don't know, how would you articulate that?
I think this is another complicated one, too, which maybe is why it's, like, third, because Shirley with Katy Perry and Tila Tequila and America's Next Top Model, having a trans woman, just being queer is maybe not all that radical. But I do think that looking at porn pedagogically, like getting people to think about new possibilities, is a radical thing.
Definitely. So yeah, other approaches that I feel like some of the porn projects that we talked about before used to, again, highlight that they're radical, or ways that people could highlight that they make radical porn is like feminist approach. So yeah, the whole idea that women who are in control of the porn that they make, or just people having power, this idea of power dynamics and just being in control of like your content.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, these are just some other claims, ideas that are maybe a little bit more nebulous, that are not as specific, so harder to make an approach, but plenty to talk about. Consent being a good one. I think that Lickety Split is maybe the only project I know that really focuses on consent and educating people about consent. But I think that most mainstream porn that you would watch, you would assume that sex happens like you just walk in the kitchen, take off your clothes, and start fucking, and there's no need for a conversation, right?
Definitely.
You wouldn't say like, "Can I touch you?" You just do it, and maybe that's not so cool. So I think that's it.
Yeah. So that's our talk. Thanks.
So we do want to say thank you to everybody in Sharing is Sexy who makes this stuff, and to Ars Electronica for inviting us. And yeah.
Okay. We have a couple of minutes left for questions from the audience. Yoo-hoo. Yoo-hoo or you-porn?
Yeah, you-porn as well. I have a question, actually. Why the need, or why this concentration on radical or real? I mean, are you familiar with something called My Dirty Hobby?
No. No.
Private Amateurs?
No.
YouPorn?
Yes.
Okay. YouPorn is like not the best example of all the above, but it's basically a way for anybody, right, to post a clip that they make of themselves, their girlfriend, their boyfriend, whatever. Yeah? And it's open to pretty much anybody. My Dirty Hobby is another site similar to that. It also gives them the opportunity to actually generate cash from it. If they want, they can decide whether to charge or not. And it's really broken down to each individual. You can either get together and do it as a group, make some more commercial productions, or just sit there with the camera and film yourself doing whatever. Fairly open. But it basically fills everything that you're describing here, except for the fact that it's not necessarily a group-made event. And it's obviously not radical, but it is very clearly real. So other than the fact that you belong to a somewhat different social group than most of the people who are actually posting at places like My Dirty Hobby, which tends to be the chick or the dude who's delivering your post or something like that. I mean, why not just say we like to make porn?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. So I feel like in the beginning we had this disclaimer that like we weren't trying to put judgment on anyone's porn. In fact, like we want to like highlight that like we can put all these porn projects side by side. And yeah, there's going to be like, okay, so if you put two truths next to each other, does make one of the truths false? No, all these truths exist simultaneously. And Sharing is Sexy wanted to get together and make something that we thought was radical porn. And yeah, and I think it's really as simple as that. We wanted to come together and make something that we thought was radical. And I guess we want to share with you guys how we did that, our process, and maybe give some insight on how we think what we make is radical.
I'm just curious as to why radical is so important. why is radical? And because obviously when you're dealing with porn, you're dealing with, to a certain degree, you're dealing with fantasy as well. If I'm going to make something, like when you were talking about consent, one of the reasons that even people doing their own things aren't necessarily going to deal with the consent issue is because some people actually think not dealing with the consent issue in the thing is part of the fantasy. I have the fantasy of simply being able to have sex with someone, not going through the normal consent process. When I'm doing my fantasy thing, all that goes away, which is one of the reasons that's sort of in there. But as we've seen, and as you've actually said yourself, the production process in and of itself is strips away the real.
I mean, I don't have anything against you, porn, or XXX tube, or My Dirty Hobby. It's just like a parameter for the talk. I think why does someone engage in ethical action is a little bit outside of the scope of our time here.
Really? No, I just think, for example, that would have been really interesting, focusing on that aspect of what you're doing, because I just don't see... I'm curious as to where the real difference is then between any of these other types of projects that don't claim to be radical porn, although that was a central theme of everything that you were going through and describing. And it's good. I'm not saying that anything you've done is bad. That's not what this is about. I just don't get why you focused on those two asks, those two words, when... Yeah, I am having a hard time seeing the difference from, so we say, mainstream amateur porn productions.
I don't think we're talking about, and again, like, I think everything that you said is completely valid as well. And I just think that for me, part of the reason why I use the term radical porn is because we don't make heteronormative porn, period. Like, the stuff that you're going to see on Sharing is Sexy, and I'm sure on all the other sites that you mentioned too, is not like your typical, what people think about when they think about porn. Like you saw in the picture with Jay. Jay has hairy legs. Some people might think that's completely like radical within itself. So like, I understand what you're saying, and I think it's completely valid, and I think there's room for that. And I just think that, yeah, there's room for us too. So, yeah.
I wasn't implying there wasn't room.
Okay.
The other thing is you have to remember, I guess most of the sites I'm referring to are actually European, which means, surprise, surprise, some of them have hair, too. And it's just because that's the way it is. There's actually, it's a surprisingly diverse selection of stuff that they tend to present there. Anyway, that's just it.
Thanks.
Okay. More comments or questions?
Hi, you talked about accessibility. I was wondering if you had considered doing any like audio files or that kind of thing for people with visual impairments.
Yeah, definitely. We actually have, or we've had a lot of that conversation. And yeah, and we do have some. We did a series of radio interviews, and we created some audio files of people having orgasms and people having sex. And I think we can play some of it for you if you wanted to hear. But yeah, we definitely have.
It might take a minute to like find the right. Okay. Oh yeah. I don't think I'm gonna play it because I know what it's a cue. Anyway, it's like the top thing.
Could you talk a little bit about the legal implications of, the legal implications of making amateur porn? I mean, specifically, I guess, in regards to Title 2258 or whatever the hell that number is, and so forth.
Sure. So, since a bunch of us have done lots of political organizing in the past and don't like when the FBI shows up at our house, we try to really be legal to the T. And so we talked to a lawyer at the EFF who gave us some advice, blah, blah, blah. But 2257 is basically designed to prevent people from making porn. It's like there's a lot of work that you have to do. So you have to for every person that's in any image on the site, even if it's like the back of their head watching Kelly take his shoes off, you have to have the consent form for somebody that has like their social security number, their address, their real name, any other names they've ever used, 2 government-issued IDs, photocopies of all those things, signed, and they all have to be in a file, and they all have to be cross-referenced with every single image with the performer documentation, and they all have to be in a publicly accessible location 20 hours a week, so like at a business, so that the police can show up any time of the day, 20 hours a week, and say, where are your documents, I'd like to see them. And it's like for 7 years or 10 years, it's a long time. And for each image that does not comply with those requirements, it's 5 years in federal prison. But some sites like XXXTube seem to be like hosted in Australia, and like I don't know. In the submission process, I've seen some of the sites don't really ask for any documentation, or I don't know if a scan of your ID would even matter. So yeah, some sites try to get around it, but generally, like even like Abby Winter's sites in Australia still comply with 2257 because they could have viewers in the U.S. and so the legal situation is complicated. Does that answer your question? Cool. So if you want to do porn with us, you have to have 2 government-issued IDs and be willing to divulge all of your personal details to us.
Okay. Maybe a last question? If? Good, Mr. Cudell.
I guess this is slightly tangential, but I just noticed that in your browser you've got Tor. It says Tor disabled in the corner there. When it's kind of a divergence, but when do you find an opportunity to use that? Is there certain areas where certain... Yeah, just that question. When do you find yourself using Tor? Vaguely, you don't have to mention specific sites or whatever.
Yeah, when do I use Tor? I don't know, for looking at political stuff, not really for porn. Yeah.
So porn cannot be political then?
Yes.
Just asking.
Do you want to answer that? Do you want to say that? Oh, I do. Clearly, I think porn is political. I meant, you know, political as in terms of what the FBI has identified as top terrorism targets, like anarchists, animal rights, you know. When, you know, white supremacist websites are not a concern, and porn websites are not a concern. yeah. So when to use Tor, yeah.
Okay, so I guess a big applause for sharing your sexy.